When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
All right, Reds, Tony Evans here with Walk On, your Liverpool podcast brought to you by The Athletic. If it's not Bellingham, then who? We'll look at the other options Liverpool have in midfield. Plus, James catches up with free-kick scoring sensation Martin Skrtel, and we'll finish with a five-a-side, alongside Kiever O'Neill and Andy Jones. Well, Kiever, let's start with you, the three words that you love so much.
A nice break, and that's not just because I've just got back off holiday. It's because I quite like international breaks. When Liverpool are winning or losing, it's quite a nice time to just go, let's all not worry about it, even though at the same time we're getting towards the end of it and it's kind of like, when are they playing again?
Yeah, Andy, do you concur on that? And what are your three words?
Yeah, I think mine are probably, I'm not stressed. Now, talk to me in a week's time and I'll be very stressed about Liverpool returning. But at the moment, knowing that that's a long way away or feels a long way away at the moment, I'm not stressed, which, and this season has just brought all of us a lot of stress. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, I have strange feelings about it. You know, it's the international break is nice downtime, but I want Liverpool back. So bring them back. You know, the sooner the better. I just want, you know, the Premier League. I love international football when tournaments come round. I love the World Cup. I love the Euros. But I have to say, these breaks, they seem to go on forever and they're so, so dull, especially with Gareth Southgate, you know, and England. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? You know, England's going to get to the tournament and they're going to underachieve again. And, you know, part of that's amusing, but it does become dull. We've entered like a rhythm of it, haven't we, you know, under Southgate. So anyway, enough of England, enough of internationals. Well, I suppose tangentially we're talking about England because, you know, after David Ornstein's news on Monday, and Andy, you've written a piece on if they don't go for Bellingham, then where the money should go in the summer, if indeed there is any money.
Yeah, so obviously Liverpool are still in the hunt for Jude Bellingham, and I think that got a little bit misconstrued by some people when David did his piece. You know, he was quite clear that it might be less likely than it has been in the past, but Liverpool aren't sort of giving up on Bellingham. But equally, there's a need to think about what is the plan B. And basically, it wasn't a piece to look at, you know, every midfielder, but it was to be specific on crunching the data and I worked with Mark Carey on it to look at if Liverpool didn't buy Bellingham, who profiles the closest to him. And this is the thing, there's not many, well, if any, out there. But it's like, so who's that sort of tier down that they might look at who would be obviously cheaper and be part of a sort of a midfield rebuild that would maybe have you buy three players instead of Bellingham and maybe one other. So there was a number of options. Pedri and Gavi were the two at the top, which bit of a frustration.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Yes, please. And then I did write it. And then obviously Gavi's contract situation became a bit interesting, and that you can leave for free in the summer. Now, I don't think there's any fears of Barcelona that they're going to lose him, but it's frustrating that they are the two most similar. But you would expect that because they are in, you would put them in that small elite group, wouldn't you, of young midfielders in world football. And then the next one was really interesting is Joe Willock. I think a lot of people, when you see that name, you would probably have a bit of a chuckle and go, yeah, whatever. But it's quite interesting that I did a piece earlier in the year as well around Gini Wijnaldum and how Liverpool have never replaced him, and it's interesting that Willock was right at the top of that in terms of stylistic profile as well. As so that was quite interesting. And then there's, we had sort of a list of players who ranked in terms of how close they were similar to Bellingham, and you know, nobody's going to be Jude Bellingham, really. But it was just to have a little look and see who'd be more affordable, if you like, that Liverpool could use as part of a rebuild alongside the likes of, you know, Mason Mount, who's a different type of player, or maybe Ryan Gavenberch, for example, is another player who's been linked recently, hasn't he? So just it was looking at that and seeing who might be the best fit, or who can do the best Jude Bellingham imitation if Liverpool were to sign them.
How many of these names are realistic, do you think, Eva?
Gavi and Pedri don't feel it, do they?
No, not at all, no.
But it's nice to talk about them, because every time I watch Barcelona, I'm just like, these kids, honestly, like, how do you make midfielders in Barcelona? There's something else, isn't it? Mason Mount just feels like, weirdly, like it will happen somehow, because the talk about it, everyone's kind of just assuming that it will. I'm not sure if it will. I don't really know too much about it to know there's certainly interest there, isn't there? But Joe Willock, another, I don't think Liverpool are going to, you know, even though his numbers flag up and the data reads well, I think he's probably enjoying his time at Newcastle as well, which is, you know, another thing.
And of course, they've got Saudi money, so you're struggling to compete with them. It's one of those things where you almost feel that we're going to be looking at people who are perhaps a little bit below the radar. I mean, James was writing in his mailbag on The Athletic before. He's gone on an international break. They give him holidays as well. You know, it's outrageous. He hinted Tyler Morton could get a chance in the pre-season.
I think that will happen for a lot of young players at Liverpool every pre-season. Players get their chance to step up and, you know, almost earn the spot in the early weeks of the season. Tyler Morton had a great last season, and all right, his season with Blackburn is going well as well. So I think, you know, that just feels like the necessary next step for him, you know, and that'll be the time when Liverpool assess, is it worth another loan move, or can this player step up and do something like Stefan Bajcetic did without, you know, any of us really thinking that he would. So I think I've seen, you know, a few people comment on social media like, oh, that's what Liverpool will do. They'll, you know, roll out like Tyler Morton as a new signing or something. And it's like, well, I think youth players do deserve a chance, and ones of his quality certainly do. I think he's got a long way to go in his development, but I was chatting to a Blackburn fan and they suggested that he is suited more to Premier League football. So it could be the case that this time next season, Tyler Morton's doing what he was doing last season for Liverpool and coming on and doing those sort of, having those Bajcetic cameos.
You forget, don't you, sometimes, because of how long ago it was, if you like, you know, the performances that he did put in and the promise that he did show. And you do wonder if he'd stuck around, how much of an influence or how involved he would have been this season. It might have been if he could have contributed to Liverpool this season. Then, you know, supporters may have had a different view on the role that Ayers already comes a young player who's going to just be an excuse for Liverpool to not have to spend money, and they're going to put all the faith in him. But Klopp wouldn't have given him a chance in the first place if he didn't rate him. It makes sense to give him a chance, and again, to see where he's at and whether he can be a contribution, because, you know, with the way Liverpool's midfield situation's gone, particularly with players who can't stay fit, Liverpool sort of need as many midfielders as they can who consistently can stay fit. And Morton has done that this season and shown he's durable in an extremely physical league. So I don't quite get the eye rolls. I mean, I understand from the point of, obviously, you want to see a £50 million midfielder walk through the door and, you know, who's got all these accolades. But equally, you know, if Liverpool couldn't develop Morton even into a squad player, which isn't a bad thing by any means, then, you know, you have solved the problem in a sense that, you know, the midfield rebuild does become, you know, smaller, and Morton can play the six role, and Liverpool don't have many players who can play the six, but Morton was trusted to play in that in some pretty big games as well. So if Liverpool were only to sign one midfielder and that wasn't Bellingham, and then Morton comes back in, then I could understand, I guess, the fume a little bit. But equally, I don't know why you would sort of write him off when he's, you know, he has performed well this season in a first loan after only, you know, bursting onto the scene last season.
I think the key thing for Liverpool is to develop their own players. That's important, not only, you know, under FSG, that, you know, eventually they will do sell these players and make money, not suggesting that Tyler Morton will be sold, but, you know, that's been an important part of FSG's regime at Liverpool. They sort of sell to buy, and, you know, as much as fans want to see them spending a lot of money, and they need to do that this summer, that will be fundamental to how Liverpool go on and prosper potentially next season. I think, as well, there has to be that importance on the players coming through as well, the youth players. And you only really have to look, I've just mentioned it before, but at by Cetic and, you know, at the start of the season, if you knew him, you knew him. But if you didn't, you didn't. And now everyone knows him.
For me, the perfect scenario would be Liverpool produce their own players. That's what I prefer. The next scenario I like best is when they find players who've gone under the radar and you're not expecting much from them and they come in and they're superb. You know, Wijnaldum, everyone was, oh, why have they bought him? And my least favourite way, and I know this will offend the transfer ultras, is to spend big. You know what? Try and recruit sensibly and try and bring your own players through. That is an ideal scenario for me. And that's not letting Fenway Sports Group off the hook, because, you know, they do need to put the money down on occasion. But, you know, it's like this obsession with the high-priced players, I kind of don't get, because, you know what? Sometimes you buy them and you spend all the money on them and they don't work. I mean, look at Keita. But, like, just to wrap up this section, what else do they need this summer, Andy? You know, more defensive cover. You know, Jamie Carragher talked about Trent moving to midfield. We've all talked about Trent moving to midfield. Do they need a right back? Should Trent be tried there?
I've always been against Trent moving into midfield, and I think because it will potentially take away his best qualities, because I don't think you want him as a six having to do the job Fabinho does in terms of having to sweep up the counters, because what you want is, and I guess in some games you wouldn't necessarily need that, but that's if you get control, and Liverpool obviously haven't been able to get that in many games this season. But then I'd be probably a little bit against pushing him too far forward, because I think you take away a lot of his range of passing, which has been so good. I mean, you know, unless he went back and pulled into sort of wide, you know, right back positions from central midfield, you wouldn't be able to play the switches and stuff like that. And then you also potentially take away his ability to get into positions to cross the ball as well. For me, I think Liverpool should be looking at a centre back rather than right back. I think Calvin Ramsey's obviously an interesting case in that Liverpool tried to address the right back situation in the summer, and that hasn't worked because of injuries. And I think you would like to think that he's in a position next season where he's had a year at Liverpool, so he's learned sort of the ins and outs of the role that he's required to play at right back. And also, if you were to buy a centre back, and I know, you know, there might be a little bit of a question mark around what Liverpool do in terms of Joel Matip in the summer, for example, or even Joe Gomez. But I think Liverpool need to be looking at bringing in a centre back. And the problem is that what that price would be. I mean, Gvardiol has been linked, hasn't he? But he's going to be extremely expensive. Now, him and Konate would sort of box off your centre back first team pair, and you would say for about 10 years, because I think he's a really good player. But I think, you know, if you bring another centre back in, you have the option then of using Joe Gomez as a right back as well to sort of give Trent rest. Because I think Trent's dipping form. I wrote a piece on it a couple of weeks ago, really, and you can tell he's not at his, you know, high standards. But there are reasons for that as well, I think, around him, in terms of the stability of the right central midfielder, the right centre back, and also he's played a lot of minutes. So if Liverpool have the options, and hopefully Calvin Ramsey is that, if he takes a leap, you know, stays fit and steps up, and you also have Gomez, but also extra centre back cover there, I think that's probably the best way to go, because I just think you keep Trent at right back, because I know sort of Carragher indicated that, you know, he's not a player who you can expect to keep qualifying for the Champions League for with him playing right back, but Liverpool did and have been extremely successful with him in that position. I think centre-back is probably the bigger priority over a right-back.
When you consider Trent's won the Champions League once and made two finals, he's done all right so far. This is Walk On, your Liverpool podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
The best word I can say that will describe this was boom.
Tony Evans here with Kiefer O'Neill and Andy Jones with Walk On from The Athletic. Well, just because the international break, it doesn't mean there's no action at Anfield this weekend. The Liverpool legends are in action on Saturday against Celtic legends for the LFC Foundation charity match. And before the game, James caught up with Martin Skirtle to talk about his 8.5-year spell with the Reds, playing 8-tier Slovakian football, 8-tier, having called time on his own professional career last year. This is an interesting listen.
You know, I had a problem with the disc between the bones. Three of them came out, and it's been touching my nerves. So when I was running or jumping, or obviously when I was playing football, after like 10, 15 minutes, I couldn't feel my legs, you know. The first months after I retired, I just tried to fix my back, you know. I was doing some treatments, I was doing some physiotherapy, some gym work. And now, obviously, I feel a little bit better, so I'm still playing something like Sunday league here in Slovakia, but just for the fun with the friends. And obviously, I do my gym work still, and time to time, I try to play ice hockey as well. Also, I'm watching the football, you know. I try to go to as many games in Slovakia, you know, watching the Slovakian league. I start to do my coaching license, so we'll see what the future brings.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about management. Can you see yourself going down that road? Does that appeal?
You know, when I retired, I said no, but now I a little bit changed the opinion. You know, that's why I start to also do my coaching license, and I almost finished the A license, so I can be the assistant. Because, you know, as I said, I'm missing the changing room. I'm missing the lads to work with the guys. So that's why I decided to do the license. And if something came out, so I'm ready for this, you know.
I saw a video the other day of you scoring a free kick.
Yeah. you couldn't believe, yeah?
where did that ability? I didn't know. You could have been taking all those free kicks rather than Steven Gerrard.
Ah, no, you know, you cannot even compare this. This was, you know, one of 20. If I send you the video of the one I had before, you know, I just tried to smash it and it went like 20 meters over the goal. So you would laugh, but this one was good.
I saw an internet report saying that's the 8th division in Slovakia. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. This is the team, you know, when I was born there. My parents still live there, and I have many friends there. When I was playing professionally, I think it was in Liverpool, I told them one day when I retired, I will come back and I will play with you guys. So the team called Rastočno. Yeah, it's just for the fun, you know. I go in there for just Sunday for the game, play the game, and then for 2-3 days I cannot walk. I just want to enjoy as much as possible, because obviously not easy just say, okay, I'm not playing, I'm finished, and I don't kick the ball anymore.
Yeah, and what position do you play?
Are you sitting?
I am.
I'm number 10.
I love it.
Few games I played as a striker, I scored a few goals, but then I dropped a little bit, and now basically I'm the kind of player, like I do what I want, I run where I want.
And do you get many people turning up to watch?
Well, the first game, because, you know, when I said I'm going to play this for this club, everybody was thinking it's going to be just for the one game, you know. So
yeah.
For the first game, it was more than 3,000 people.
Wow.
Stadium. And but now it's just like, you know, some games is like 500, 600, then 200. One game was like over 1,000. So it's not bad, you know. And yeah, as I told you, I just do that for my friends, you know. We have a quite old team. The goalkeeper is, I think he's 56. There is few players over 40, like 44, 45. And we're not pushing like we have to win or something. We just go there. We try to try our best. And sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But most important is to have fun, you know.
Oh, perfect. And how much are you looking forward to going back to Anfield next weekend?
You know, I'm excited. Cannot wait, because obviously it's going to be second game. And before the first game, when I was going there, I didn't know what to expect. So I was a little bit nervous to go back again and to play the game, you know, because I didn't know how it's going to be on the pitch, what's the level of the game. But now I know what can I expect, because obviously now I think it's going to be more players involved than I play with them, you know, as a Stevie, Kara, it's going to be, I think, Durka, Daniel Lager. So it's exciting, and I'm looking forward. One side of the coin is that we can play the game, but the other side is the help that LFC Foundation doing for all those people. So you know, I think it's a good thing to do, and if I can, I always take a part in it. So it's only, I think it's from us as a player, it's only one part, and it's only small things that we can do for the people that they need the help.
You, I mean, you your time at Liverpool covered such a wide range, didn't it, of highs and lows, from when you think you were there under Rafa and Hodgson and Dalglish and Rodgers, and then the start of Klopp. I mean, how do you look back on it? It must have been like a real roller coaster.
I think not only for me, but also that was the period also for the club, because the ownership and everything and the fans. But for me, I always said that I'm proud of what I was doing in Liverpool, because obviously I came from the small country, I was the player nobody knew when I came to Liverpool. And, you know, I think to stay there for such a long time, obviously we cannot say I had only good games, but there was always in the life, also in football, you have better moments, you have not as good moments. So I just try my best. I try to enjoy my time there and try to do the best for the club and for the fans.
And of course, you had the high of winning the League Cup at Wembley, and of course you scored that day. I guess at the other end of the emotional kind of spectrum, you had 2013-14, where do you still have days when you think, kind of, if only, in terms of that title race?
Obviously, to win the League Cup, it was, you can say, highlight of my career, because to win the title is football for, and also I my manager scored a goal. So, and that season when we almost won the league, it still hurt me, you know, when I thinking back about it. I'm still sometimes thinking what we could do differently and what could we change to manage to win it. But yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't do it. And that's the history. We cannot change it. So it's still have bad feelings, but we cannot change it. So we have to just look forward, you know. And at the moment, we are not the players anymore, so we just can support the team the playing at the moment, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've been watching Liverpool closely this season. Yeah. It's obviously not been the season that everyone hoped for, has it, so far?
Yes, we can say that. And unfortunately, you know, this is the good, I'm not going to say it's a good thing about the football, but you know, the football, you don't have only the good days, but you have also the bad days, and you have to fight for the good days come back again. So obviously this season is not as we wanted to be, but it's going to be now, I think, the three games after the international break against City, Chelsea and Arsenal. It can be the breaking point, you know, because I think we have to get to the position to qualify for the Champions League next season. And I still believe that we can do it, you know, because when you see the games like we play against United at home, it was one of the best games I've ever seen. And we just have to continue in this way. Obviously, after that, it was the Real Madrid game, and also the Bournemouth game was not as good, but We have to build on the performance as against United, and then I hope and I believe that we can finish in the top four.
Yeah, and of course, in your old position, there's a lot of excitement about Ibrahima Konate, you know, a young centre back who I think Liverpool have missed him when he hasn't played this season. Is he someone that has impressed you?
I tell you what, when I was in Turkey, we played against Leipzig. At the moment, everybody was talking about this guy, Upamecano. And I spoke to one of my friends and I told him, like, but the other one, this Konate, is even better, you know. And then Liverpool signed him, so I was so happy because he's such a good player. He's strong physically, seems to be strong mentally, because I don't know him personally. And he's also good with the ball, so I think he's the very good player at the moment, and he's still young, so he will be very important for the future as well.
Fascinating to wear Skirtle there. All I have to say, I can't imagine them ever getting Stevie off free kicks. If you want to hear more from Martin Skirtle, just head over to The Athletic, where you can catch James's full interview with him. The Legends play at Anfield on Saturday, but on Friday night, there's a small matter of the Merseyside Derby in the WSL. Liverpool lost 3-0 at Anfield in the reverse fixture, and so they've got a score to settle there. Kiva, you've been at the press conference, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, and everyone's very much looking forward to a Friday night game at Goodison Park. I think Liverpool-Everton is always the one you circle, isn't it, first on the fixture list, and I think that's the same for Liverpool women. And that growing rivalry now is very much there, alive and kicking, and it's going to be an enjoyable occasion. I'm actually missing it myself, and I'm absolutely gutted about it. Off to Birmingham for a wedding this weekend, so I can't make it, unfortunately. But some good news from Matt Beard's press conference was about Leanne Kiernan, obviously plays up front for Liverpool and Ireland as well. Ireland, who will be playing in a World Cup this summer. Basically, she got injured on the first day of the season when Liverpool, you will remember, triumphantly beat Chelsea. It felt like a massive blow because her goals had basically got Liverpool promoted from the Championship. Then she gets injured on the first day of the season, which is just the worst sort of worst time ever, isn't it? And she struggled to get back. You know, it was a long-term injury, and now Matt Baird's saying that she'll be back towards the end of next month, April. So that'll be really good news, not only for Liverpool, but for Ireland as well. It's been a long time without her. But Liverpool are doing well at the minute. They beat Tottenham recently, and I think to go to Goodison Park and pick up a win after, you know, Everton winning a couple of times at Anfield in recent history will be what they absolutely want to do. And obviously there's an away end as well at Goodison Park, which is really good as well for the Liverpool fans to all be there. And I feel like there's just a bit of a good feeling going into this game on the back of that win for Liverpool. So hopefully, you know, they can get the job done and get the bragging rights.
Well, and it's brilliant, isn't it, Andy, that they're using Goodison Park and they're using Anfield for the first time in the season. And it's women's football weekends, and it's a really a big opportunity for the women's game to, you know, get in the spotlight.
Exactly. That's been the build-up for a number of years. And then obviously the Euros success of the national team has, you know, again, you know, boosted it even further. And being able to for the players to play at the, you know, the big grounds of Goodison and Anfield makes it feel like a proper derby, doesn't it? And not to say that it wouldn't be anywhere else, but, you know, it gives it that feel, doesn't it? And that's what you want, and that's where we want, you know, women's football to continue to go and keep moving in that direction with that upwards trajectory. So it's a great opportunity for them. And now I was just looking at the league table there, and, you know, I'm sure Liverpool will be looking to finish the season strongly. And a win would only put them 3 points behind Everton. So that gives them a carrot sort of dangling there, isn't it, for them to chase. But yeah, I completely agree. I think it's, you know, you can see the growth in women's football. You know, you look at the sort of the Arsenal Tottenham games that have happened at the Emirates in this season, for example, and you know, the big games, fans want to be there and certainly turning out for them and creating atmospheres, and that's what you want, isn't it? You want the players to be able to experience those types of atmospheres, and that hopefully would attract more and more. And obviously the quality of football continues to get better as the national team, you know, showcased over the summer as well.
And one good thing as well is that the rivalry in this derby isn't quite as toxic as the men's derby, is it, Kiva?
I did ask Matt Baird about this actually, and he was sort of saying the spectators and the makeup of the fans of Liverpool and other clubs in the WSL and women's football, a lot of it is, you know, families and parents with the kids and that kind of thing. A lot of younger fans get to go to the game, obviously, we know, because it's cheaper. And also, like Andy mentions there, it's attractive football to go and watch. It's been kicked on a lot by England winning the Euros last summer, definitely. For me, it's a really nice place to go. I feel at home there, I feel safe, and I don't think I always feel like that at men's football matches. And I think if you feel that way about going to watch men's games, you know, that's not all the time, but there's been occasions, and I think, you know, everyone's had those experiences, haven't they? But I've never ever had one of those experiences at a women's football match.
This is Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic, with me, Tony Evans, Kiva O'Neill and Andy Jones. And to finish, with the Legends theme, let's talk quick five-a-sides. Kiva.
It's tough, isn't it, actually? Because straight away, first name on the sheet for me is Steven Gerrard. To no surprise of absolutely nobody else, because you grow up in a certain time, then, you know, I was out on the streets kicking a ball and shouting Gerrard when, you know, you'd have a strike, imagining that you were him.
Gerrard! He's got it!
So he's definitely there. Dalglish, you can't look any further than him.
Yeah, Andy, I mean, does five aside, you know, I take this too seriously. Does it suit a particular kind of player? I mean, for me, I'm thinking, you know, if I had a five aside team, I'd want someone like Craig Johnson, who's like going to run relentlessly, you know, in that small cage, and he's going to chase and harry and never stop.
Again, to reference my age, which I do love to do on this podcast, I never really got to see much of Craig Johnson, but I guess Dirk Kuyt seems to fit that similar description.
Well,
I guess, you know, my type of era, if you like. So I could certainly see Dirk Kuyt in a five-a-side team, because he would do your head in, because he just wouldn't stop, and he always knew how to sort of get into areas to score like little like goals here and there, didn't he? He was finding himself in the right place. I don't know whether he'd he quite make the legends five-a-side team. He's certainly a Liverpool legend, I think, in his own right. But yeah, I think he would be a player who you would it's similar, isn't it? You're looking for the cage qualities, and that's why, you know, as I always do, reference Jamie Carragher. I think you've in the past, Souness has been one you've mentioned about if he, you know, you'd be entering hell, I think, if you went into a five-a-side cage with prime Graeme Souness.
Yeah, well, he's more suited to cage fighting than a football cage, isn't he? You know, it's he's actually lovely in life. He's, you know, dealing with him, he's brilliant to deal with, but you know, on a football pitch, he was just insane. And I used to look forward to battles. I mean, him and Terry Yorath had an amazing relationship. They just tried to kill each other every time they played one another, and it was like, you know, referees let this go. It was like, you know, the bell would go seconds out and let them go. So imagine putting them two in a cage. But it's quite interesting because, you know, we're sort of in the light of what you said, Kiva, where friends from the Walk On podcast group said, Shane Rose said he wants Reina, Van Dijk, Gerrard, Burns and Salah. Yeah, this seems all right. Sean Clines, Alisson, Van Dijk, Gerrard, Dalglish and Salah, like you know, the two main men there. Gary Rivers wants Grobbelaar, who, yeah, he would be good. He could play outfield. In fact, he tried to do that often when he was in goal for the first team. Agger, I'm not so sure about Agger personally. Gerrard, Rush and Torres. That seems a bit too many forwards there. But yeah, I mean, for me, I'd want people who ran all day. And, you know, I'd like you, I'd have Cara, Andy, I'd certainly Craig Johnson and Dirk in there, and maybe someone who could put the ball into the net. Yeah, who would be the best striker? I think you'd have to have Salah these days, wouldn't you? I mean, because he's just superb. I think sometimes when players are playing during a career, we don't realise how good they are. We won't realise how good Salah was until he's retired. I mean, he's just, for me, he's just amazing. He's up there with the best ever. And, you know, and sometimes amid all the moan of us not doing well, we kind of miss how good this man is. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Kiva?
Well, I think it's quite nice that we're mentioning players like Salah, Van Dijk, Alisson. I think I'd throw Salah and Mane in because I play seven-a-side in a cage now, people, for Sefton Park Rangers. I played last night, actually. We won 3-1, so shout out to my team.
What position do you play?
I'm sort of on the right of midfield. So, you know, a place Liverpool could play me. So, you know, just training up, trying to get into the midfield this pre-season. So I reckon they're so small, aren't they? That's the only thing. They look so small, so you can hardly, like, you know, pick out a pass from far away. But then at the same time, they're absolutely massive because you have to run from one end to the other, like basketball, constantly. And the ball doesn't go out of play, so it's just never-ending. So I think having players like Salah, Mane would be amazing because they just pick up the ball and you'd be able to just, you know, catch your breath. Give Salah or Mane the ball, let them just go and run and score. And I've got a shout-out, you know, we've got a link back to that famous front three. But I think Firmino would be FIFA Street in the cage, wouldn't he? He'd be so good. He'd be doing no-look stuff, tricks. Like, it would be properly amazing to watch him. And I think the best thing, which I'll come back to what I was saying at the start of this, is that, you know, we're chatting about Salah, Mane, Van Dijk, Alisson. You know, they're Liverpool legends. And even though Liverpool aren't playing great this season and things aren't going as we all want it to, you know, we've got legends playing for the club right now. That's quite special, isn't it? Given the, you know, one time it just felt like Gerrard was the legend in the team and there wasn't anyone else really. But now, you know, it is a team of them because they've won something for Liverpool and that's important.
You can tell it's International Week because we're counting our blessings. Next week, we'll be back to moaning. We need the points. We're desperate. Can you sort something out in the midfield, Jürgen? But for now, we're mellow. It's calm. It's international break and everything is sane. That's all from Walk On, your Liverpool podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Thanks to Kiva and Andy, as well as you for joining us. You can get involved on Facebook by searching Walk On Podcast. We'll be back on Monday. We'll see you then, and we'll be building up to the return of the Premier League.
Are you sitting?
I am.
I'm number 10.
The Athletic.